famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, on a Monday night following a long drive from the Bay Area today and last night at the Eureka Theater. And I'm very grateful to everybody that was there, and we had a great time. And it was, as I was saying before the broadcast here tonight, I was talking to our good friend Nikki McKee, and I was saying, well, it was like being in the nice, warm, welcoming womb of your friends and fans. And
yeah, they were very, very sweet people. And even though Bobby Dooley had come out, and I had begged her, I'd pleaded with her, don't slap, you know.
Yeah.
Don't slap your husband.
Yeah, she bellowed him.
Well, I've got to talk to her about that. She did. Bobby slapped Steve very, very shortly after the show began because he was sexy, so she slaps him for that.
Yeah, it's real weird. I don't want to get into it, but if her husband is attracting her or turning her on, she slaps his face because she thinks he's such a brute. And then I guess after the show's over, they go back to the hotel room, and my understanding is it is loud and vulgar.
Well, we don't have to talk about that. So it was just to get on with the show here. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We thank you very much for being there.
Can I say something? I didn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, to jump in and start talking about the vulgarity and the loud animal grunts. I'm not talking,
Don't talk about the sex they have, all right?
I'm just saying that after she slaps his filthy face, they go back.
We already know, Margaret, that they go back and they grunt and sweat on each other.
Well, I didn't say that.
That's what you're trying to say. So it was fun. Thank you very much. God bless. And we are hopeful and not just hopeful. We will continue to do our live shows, continue to expand those live shows, continue to refine those live shows, and continue to make you guys our fan base, as well as our backstage pass members, to make you the foundation of that. And that means basically we do them for you first. And, well, everybody else is just going to have to get in line, man. So it was a lot of fun. And also, everybody at Sketchfest was so cool. Thank you. We drove up on Saturday. And the reason why I drove is because I like to think. When I have time off, I don't want to just be, okay, you're off, and now let's go and do something else, you know. I want to get a little bit of some space between the ears, which, of course, I've got. That was probably a bad way of putting it, right?
Can't talk about space between your ears. That means you ain't got nothing in there.
Yes, it was very unfortunate.
Well, okay, well, what I'm saying is I like to have some space, not between my ears. I like to have a little bit of a repast, you know, a moment where I can...
Ain't that food?
Is what?
Ain't a repast food?
Well, it is sort of a lunch, isn't it? General, you know.
Yeah, well, why would I know, other than the lunches that my wife put on when I was an officer? We would have some of the officers' wives, but I...
All right, let's just say that a repast is what I intended it to be. So, whatever that is, I don't know.
But I think a repast can be at this... Yes.
All right, a break. So I'm, that's what I like. And I don't want to necessarily jump on a plane. And why are you on a plane? Because I got to get up there. Well, we're not going to do the gig until Sunday night. And, I'd like to take some time. So we got in the car and we drove and stopped at a Tascadero, naturally. And if you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, on the homepage, I believe there's three little clips of a travel, sort of a semi-travel log. One is a video of the signs at a Tascadero.
Now, a Tascadero, that's another gentleman, by the way, who made the show the other night, was Herb Sewell.
Yes, Herb Sewell was there. We're going to have, why don't we have Herb on now? I was going to move him. Jay Santos is going to be with us in just a few minutes also to be talking about something that he's getting involved with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. That is the stealing of copper in a Southern California town. I think it's Santee. And the political ramifications of that. But anyway, the Citizens Auxiliary Police are going to be hovering about all the copper down there so it doesn't get stolen, and so that their mayor down there doesn't have to get all worked up and hissy and take phones away from people.
Homeless people.
Homeless people. All right. So Herb, as you know, was at the...
Herb's up at a nut bin, and that was the name of it.
Don't call it a nut bin. He was up at a Tascadero, okay? So when every time I drive north, I always get off
Well, that...
I always get off the freeway, Margaret.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's all.
You wouldn't say I don't always get off.
Yeah, I know. I forget who I'm working with. You guys, your minds, boy, I tell you. You get up in the morning, you drop them into a bucket or you drop them into a toilet that's unflushed, pull them out and stick them back in your skull. That's what you guys do.
Well, I find that to be a bit harsh. It's not what I do.
I'm offended by that, Phil.
Be offended by it. Anyway, I always get off the freeway and go over to the entrance to Atascadero and drive in. And it's just our way of paying homage to Herb and all that that are. Now, I did take a couple of little video shots of it, and the camera, for whatever reason, man, I didn't video the actual place. And I drove in because I just wanted to see where Herb at one time had spent 8 years of his life. It looks like a high school campus with barbed wire all over the place. And then there's also people that go in to see the patients there. And
what do you mean patients?
Because it's a hospital, bud.
We got barbed wire.
Because it's a hospital for the criminally insane.
Well, that term is not really, they don't use that anymore. They call it a forensic hospital. But I don't think they say a hospital for the criminally insane any longer. It's a sort of an antiquated term. It's like saying lunatic or a madman or something like that. We just don't use these terms. But nonetheless, I saw people going in to visit their relatives, I guess. And there's a big sign out in front of Atascadero that says you may not bring in, and it sort of goes without saying, but I guess they have to put it right there on the sign, no explosives.
Well, who is going to bring explosives into a place that houses nuts?
Would you mind, Margaret?
I'm sorry, that has the forensically...
Yeah, it has a forensic nut.
Don't you say nut. Anyway, who's going to bring explosives in? Good question, but I'm glad they have the sign that it's no explosives, no guns, you know. Please, you're not allowed to bring a gun into a prison, but especially not this one. And so on the homepage, you'll see that and a couple of other things. I think we went up to Pier 39 and said hello to the sea lions, then went off and did the show. There's also a clip, about a three-minute clip of the show. I came out with a camera, and I was going to do what... So many artists do. You know, you do a video of the crowd, and then you, like, go, see, this is what you look like. I forgot to turn the camera off, though. So I walked out. I didn't even have it pointed in the right direction. I had it pointed at my shirt. So what you'll see is me talking and saying, I'm about to go on stage. Then you see the camera sort of, you know, wiggling. Then you see my shirt. And then you see the ceiling of the club because I put it down on a stool.
Yes, I saw this clip, and I was wondering why you were videoing the lights.
Yeah, it was on a ceiling.
Yep, because he put on the stool.
Well, why did you do that? You did that by mistake, correct?
Yes, I did it by mistake, and I at that point I said, you know, I got to get on with the show. I'm not going to sit here and fool around with a camera. So I just put it down. I didn't turn it off, and so about 3 minutes of the ceiling of the Eureka Theater. Plus, you'll hear me, and you'll hear 3 minutes of the act, and you'll hear the audience, but you won't see me or the audience. You'll be looking at the ceiling. So that's how that goes. All right, Herb Sewell will be with us here in a moment. Then we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us in a few as well to talk about protecting the copper down there in Santee, California. You know, I used to work in construction way, way, way back, and I'll give you some insight into copper and why it goes missing so much. And it does go missing so much. There's just a lot of people that are into that copper thing. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in. So if you are checking us out on the radio, that's a good thing. If you're at our website, you can listen to the show streaming live on our website. And if you're at TuneIn, go check out our Phil Henry channel at TuneIn and check us out on TuneIn Live, 7 to 10 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the Easterly thing. And Herb Sewell joining us here from, I don't know where you are, Herb, and I'm not supposed to know. I know you're in your car and you're driving and dropping off things. Where were you? Can you tell us that?
Well, I can tell you that I was at a Starbucks. I was finishing up the couple of reports I was doing, and right now I'm in transit, Phil, if that helps you at all. But, you know, I'm not allowed to tell anyone where I am because of the prescriptions of the parole that I'm on. But yes, I'm in transit right now.
And you drop these. You're doing a lot of research, online research, compiling these reports. Why don't you just email them?
Well, sometimes we have meetings, and I give some background to the different people that I'm working with, the college professors, and so forth. As soon as the restrictions of the parole period and probationary period are lifted, then I can speak more freely about where I am and what I do. However, be assured the authorities are very, very familiar where I am and what I'm doing, and make me aware of that at all times.
Well, I mean, it's you know, you're out and free. At least you're not up there. You were at Atascadero, and we want to talk about that.
Yeah, I know that you go by the place as if it's some sort of a zoo.
Well, it's not, no, because I'm not trying to see the inmates.
Well, would you not try to see the inmates? If they made the inmates available to see, would you want to see them?
No, I would not. No, I wouldn't.
I would. That'd be bitching.
I'm not asking you, Dickman. I know what your answer is.
Well, I think it would be interesting. I think you're going to have to expect that sort of response.
Well, I don't know if I have to expect. Look, if I were still in a task there, and they said, well, you know, we're going to open the place so that people can come by and they can see the nuts. They can look through the bars of the cages at the aminals, as Bud Dickman and others of his mentality, you know, might say.
You're not talking like that.
Well, I'm talking about him like that, and I don't mean any disrespect, Bud, but that's how you talk.
Like what?
I said aminals.
He's talking like you don't know how to pronounce the word animal.
Well,
do you?
Aminal?
And there. I rest my case.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. How do you pronounce animal?
Aminals. Yeah, see, that's not fair, Mr. Sewell.
What do you mean it's not fair? I pinned him. I identified an area of weakness, and I exposed it. How's that my fault?
What did I do wrong?
Animal, not aminal. Animal.
What word are you talking about?
Talk about aminal. You said I did it wrong.
Yes, you did it. You do it wrong, Bud. It's aminal. It's not aminal. It's
animal.
Animal, yes.
See what I'm saying? And it's infectious. You can hear Margaret there, you know, butchering it alive, as you would say, Phil.
All right. The word is animal, Bud. And the way you can remember is if you remember that there's an N before the M.
N before the M.
That's correct.
No, he didn't. N before the N.
Animal.
N before the M. Nancy before Mary.
I heard that. I heard that. That's great.
You know something? I don't want to do this. In any event, as you would say, Phil, the hospital...
But hold on for a minute. But don't screw around like that, okay? Do you know what I'm talking about? N before M, Nancy before Mary, animal, okay?
Animal. No, man. Animal, not animal.
Well, you don't even say it too good either. It's aminal.
Margaret, why don't you just go ahead and stick a gasoline-soaked sock.
Stick a gasoline-soaked sock where?
I think you know.
Oh, man, talk about having the burning runs, you know?
I ought to belt you, but I'm told I'm not allowed to hit him. Is that right? Is that what the new...
Yeah, you can't touch him.
What'd I do?
Animal. Not aminal. Animal.
Said N before N.
He said N before M. N as in the word Nancy, M as in the word Mary. Not Nancy before Mary in your sick and perverted and disgusting mind, the way my mind used to be before I had electroshock. I'm talking about Nancy before Mary as in N before M. Do you finally understand it?
Yeah.
How do you say the word?
N-N-N-O. I gotta practice it.
And this is a guy you hired to be on your staff. I love it. It's bizarre. It's weird. But, hey, who am I to criticize?
All right. So, yes, we were there at Atascadero. And I did see all of the barbed wire and all the trappings of high security. We looked at the far wing. I suppose when you asked me, is there a patient that I would like to see, maybe it would be Walter Bellhaven. You brought him up last night at the show. and people were absolutely fascinated.
Well, I think I knew. And by the way, congratulations. I thought it was a very good show, and I was very, very pleased, and I was very happy to be a part of this show. I think people understood and appreciated my stories. I did explain Walter Bellhaven. I told him about Bunny. I did all the things you wanted me to do. Did I leave anything out?
Well, that's what I was wanted to ask you about. What, if anything, from the interior of that hospital would you like to talk about?
Well, I wouldn't want to talk about anything having to do with anyone there that I know. I don't know what's up. I don't know what the right now what people are planning.
What do you mean, like an escape or something?
No, you don't have to escape in the traditional way from a place like Atascadero. You don't have to crawl over a wall. You don't have to crawl under the barbed wire. Generally, what happens is you have some form of work release where you're out and you're flipping burgers at a local I don't know. But you can walk off if you have the guts, if you are that dumb. You can walk off of your work release job and just go out into society. They'll catch you because most of these mental midgets that I was incarcerated with would not last more than 24 hours. No, that's how the escapes from a high-security forensic hospital like Atascadero happen. They do not happen by someone tunneling under the fence or scaling the barbed wire.
Well, it was a pleasant evening. It was good to see you, Herb, and I thank you very much for joining us. And I did go by, and we did take some video, but, nothing spectacular.
Well, you're not going to get anything spectacular. You're not going to get anything spectacular. You will get there. You got the sign.
I got the sign, says no explosives.
Right, and you think that that's funny, but I'm telling you, you have to tell a lot of these morons. And with the greatest of respect, I'm so sorry, but a lot of these idiots that come in to see the nuts that are in there, they're nuttier than the nut. The nut that comes to see the nut, now you've got a bowl of nuts. And
a nutcracker.
Yes, isn't that cute? Nutcracker.
Well, you know, Herb, I'm...
Okay, thank you very much, Margaret. Herb, thank you, and thank you again for being a part of the show.
Yes, and again, I would hasten to add that the show last night, talking about Walter and talking about all these people, I think it should be expanded. I think people love that kind of true crime stuff. And maybe even have Walter come out and do one of his botany lectures.
No, I'm not having a guy release. Not that guy. He said he's never going to be out.
Well, what about a work release? I mean,
yeah. Thank you very much, Herb Sewell. A work release.
That's what he was just talking about, people walking off of.
Right. So we won't do that anytime soon.
Well, you get a guy like... Now, who is this guy, Walter Bellhaven?
He's a maniac. He's a guy that's in there for serial murder. They haven't even begun to... They can't even count the bodies. They don't know how many he's killed. That's how prolific, as they say, about serial killers. Why do they call serial killers prolific?
What's it mean?
Well, it means they're... prolific means you create a lot. You do a lot. You know, you're very creative. You're prolific. You're a prolific songwriter. You create a lot of songs. You're a prolific carpenter, or you're a prolific craftsman. You create a lot of things. A prolific serial killer is a guy that kills a lot of people, and I just wonder whether that's the appropriate use, you know.
Well, technically it is appropriate, but it is ghoulish, because then you'd say, for instance, if the individual was one who left torsos, well, there's a prolific, he creates a prolific amount of heads, you know, without bodies. That, you're right, is very ghoulish and very, very... unseemly, and I would not, and so Herb was what? He was prolific with the heads?
Herb just killed a lot of people, and not Herb, Walter Bellhaven.
What did Herb do?
He was a
child abuser.
Oh my God. You had that animal on.
I did, and I have, and you've been well aware of that. Yeah, he was, and he underwent his electroshock and everything else. All right, so, and as I mentioned last night at the show, we wouldn't even have had him on the show were it not for the fact that he has proven to be a very popular and informative guest. Okay, Phil Hendry's show. Coming up next is Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm just getting, you know, seated here, man. The shirt that I was wearing Saturday night is the same shirt I'm wearing right now, you know.
No, but Sam's still going to be soaked in sweat.
Yes, it is. It's the same shirt that's soaked in the sweat that it was soaked in on Saturday night.
And you don't believe in changing shirts?
I do believe in changing shirts. I just haven't. I threw this one on this morning, got into the car. We took off. We started driving. We found an In-N-Out Burger, so naturally had to stop there. And I just pulled into Nazareth, man.
Well, you were feeling about a half past dead.
Yes, feeling half past dead. And so there you go. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And where are we, Nikki? I'm completely spaced on this.
30 seconds.
30 seconds, very good. I'm sorry, folks, but we've got a whole new system of linking up with our good, close, personal friends in D.C., and, you know, I don't get it, man. All right, so we're going to be back with Jay Sanders at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Remind you to visit us at philhendryshow.com. When we get the date, the air date, I should say, for Drunk History, which a lot of people are asking
seconds.
About, we will let you know. And
five,
the air date for Marin, we'll
four,
let you know. Be right back.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're fighting the good fight here. I like people who say they're fighting the good fight. We're really fighting the good fight here.
Well, what is the good fight that you're fighting?
We're fighting the good fight for good, creative, inventive radio. We're fighting the good fight to keep some semblance of a creative effort alive in radio. This morning, I was just looking at some guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. Seriously, he's probably a very nice man. His radio show is another one of these conservative shows, right? And we don't have enough of those. And what's happened is because radio's turned itself over to all of these conservative meatheads, you've got the same kind of people listening to it. And the next thing you know, you've got this dog pound of amateurs and hacks like this guy. I'm not going to mention his name because that's just not me, you know, but I think you know who he is.
Lars Larson.
Well, you just mentioned him. No, I didn't. I whispered it.
That's exactly. You tell me not to whisper, but
I'm kidding around. So anyway, I'm watching this guy, and he's babbling on about some horse dung that no one gives two hoots about, and unless you are, you know, sucking his kneecaps and you think he's fantastic. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is you want news, you want perspective, you want to know what's really going on. Join me every morning as I watch the Fox Morning News and listen to those people. Like, with all due respect to, what's her name? What's the lady that's on in the morning?
That'd be Gretchen Carlson.
Not Gretchen Carlson, it's
Allison Cameron. Are you going to start in again about Madonna? Madonna is a beautiful woman.
I know Madonna's a fine-looking woman. But she, this Allison, what's-her-face, was knocking her looks. And look, that would be like me knocking Brad Pitt. I'm not saying Madonna is the most gorgeous thing that ever walked the face of the earth, but compared to the chick that was knocking her looks, I mean, hello. So if I'm sitting there and I'm saying, boy, that Brad Pitt, ha, 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 what a mutt face. You know, I got to expect some people are going to take some shots. That's what they were doing. And then they brought on this Lars Larson, who, as I said, I'm sure he's a very nice man, but he's everything that's wrong with our business. Not him. But he represents everything that's wrong with our business. Everything that's wrong with our business, those guys. With their dull Tea Party pitch, with the slow destruction of the actual live radio broadcast as we've known it, with the turning over of what could have been a fantastically creative format talk radio to the dull, plodding hammer of these hammerheads, man.
They're a bunch of hammerheads.
Well, the Tea Party hammerhead.
Look, I don't mind you talking disparagingly about the Tea Party, but you've got to call him a hammerhead. Mister, you're on the fighting side of me. Now,
I'm not trying to get on the fighting side of you, General. I'm just saying that it's to the point now. What I'm saying is it's to the point now. On Saturday night, I got up in front of a bunch of people, and I did a one-man show for 90 minutes. I made more money that night than radio can possibly afford to pay me or anybody. I'm telling you, I made more money that night in an hour and a half than radio will ever be able to afford to pay anybody ever again. So I'm sitting here, I'm doing my show, you know, it's either I'm going to give up on something I love very much, which is the radio industry, which will never happen. We're going to keep doing this show, but we're going to be on increasingly more and more smartphones and fewer radios, man. I mean, we are all, right now, as I tell you guys, the TuneIn app is a great way to listen to the show live. That means all you need is your phone, not a radio. See, all you need is a TuneIn app on your phone, not a radio. You can hear the show. So what's that got to do with a radio station? Well, and the way these stations act, you'd swear to God, man, that you're asking for entrance into the Taj Mahal or something. Like, this is the most sacred honor that could possibly be bestowed upon you to have your show on some of these stations. And, well, we'll wait and see. Well, it's well past that now, man. You know, and to do what we did on Saturday night and to play in front of a lot of people that enjoyed what we were doing and to actually bring the art of this show to a live audience and to sit down and do a radio show in the midst of what talk radio has become, which is a decrepit house of horrors filled with nothing but these meatheads that are talking all this anti-Obama stuff. And all of that's going away. Rush Limbaugh, God bless you, Rush. I love you. He just got bounced off the biggest talk station in L.A., and now he's over on a small station. And for any liberal that thinks that's great, I got news for you. Your version of talk radio, Air America and all that kind of, that stuff is garbage, too. Nobody wants it anymore.
You're saying to me and to others that the liberal hosts that we love, they're also going away.
Yes. Yes. Because we've had it with that stuff. Liberal or conservative. It's the only way they're going to save our format, the radio format, is to get rid of that. Now, you know, we can get Don Berman in here to talk about it later on. I don't really want to. I have to get on with the show here. We do have, although it was because of listening to a talk show this afternoon on the radio, I got Jay Santos on the line from the Citizens Auxiliary Police to find out more about this situation of copper being stolen in a small Southern California community called Santee. They have a mayor down there by the name of Randy Vopel, who was angry. He's blaming the copper thefts on the homeless. Jay, you and the Citizens Auxiliary Police have been down there, and you've sussed out, as they say, the situation. Can you tell me a little bit more?
Well, yeah, Phil, when we say we're sussing out a situation, we went down, we did talk with some of the principals involved, and there are copper fixtures at a park down there in Santee that the mayor and other members of the Santee City Council and the like are concerned about. And these copper fixtures have been stolen. Now, the mayor of Santee says he's had enough. More than 40-acre town center park has had these copper fixtures stolen. They've lost, I don't know, somewhere around the neighborhood of $100 worth of copper, and he's blaming it on the homeless going out and stealing this stuff. So what they've tried to do is put some covers on some of these copper fixtures. They're trying to keep the homeless from getting at it. Also, he wants to have the cell phone taken away from him, too.
Now, what's the cell phones being taken away from the homeless going to do?
Well, if you take away the cell phones from the homeless...
And by the way, these cell phones that the homeless have, this is a program that was instigated by Ronald Reagan, and it was passed on to succeeding administrations and funded under succeeding administrations, including both Bushes and Clinton, and now Obama, who's expanded it to cell phones.
Right. Well, that's the problem right there, and I think that's the problem what Mayor Vopel probably has a problem with. I mean, telephones are great, but now why the cell phone? You know?
Because the whole idea was to give telephone access to folks that didn't have it.
Yeah, but they didn't say nothing about cell phones.
They didn't know anything about cell phones. What do you mean they didn't say anything about cell phones? They didn't know anything about the cell phone technology to the extent that we have it now, but the idea was to give folks the telephonic contact that they needed for job hunting.
Well, I mean, so that means they get to call each other up and go and steal copper?
Well, wait, hold on for a minute. How does this guy, Vopel, know that homeless guys are contacting each other on the phone?
He got an email. And
he got an email?
Well, he did get an email from a guy who said, yeah, that's how we did it. We had cutters, we had lookouts, and use on a cell phone. So I said to the mayor, I said, look, you know, let me take this. Let me run with it. I'll go down. I'll see if, we'll have some of our guys will stake it out and take a look at the...
Did you talk to the mayor?
No, I didn't talk to the mayor, but in my mind I did, you know, and I was talking to myself, planning on whether or not I would be talking. I didn't know if I was going to talk to him. I was hoping I'd talk to him. We put a call in, and I practiced talking to him. You know?
Yeah.
By the way, Jay, it was great to see you on the show last night as you showed everybody how you did fake radio calls.
Well, that was very, very unfair of you, Phil. You know?
What was unfair of me? What are you talking about?
Well, you had me up there showing everybody about a fake radio call.
Look, you're the guy that said you do fake radio calls so that it puts people at ease.
Right, but I want to go up there and show everybody how to do it.
I thought you did it very well.
What do you mean by fake radio calls?
We do fake radio calls. And Phil said, well, let's do some fake radio calls, you know, to show the people.
But what do you mean fake radio calls? To ease people's mind. I don't understand.
Do one.
I don't want to do one now.
Okay, Jay, I don't understand what they're saying.
Right.
Do a fake radio call.
Oh, baby. Subcommander Gleason, I want you to catch the door and come in. All right, we would do this. If I'm standing there talking, and then I'll go, prime, prime, 2023. Okay?
Well, I don't understand. What did he do?
He just did a fake radio call.
I don't understand.
General, are you that disconnected from the current life?
I don't understand. Did you just go with your voice?
Yes, I'm doing a fake radio call so that if I get called out to a home, the people hear me do it and they feel better about it.
They feel better. What are you, all of a sudden Ron Paul? I was listening to a Ron Paul speech, goes, but Hillary Clinton and blah, blah, blah. Don't mumble your way through things and sound like you got a mouthful of mash. You sound like a mumbling, stuttering fool. Now, do this again.
Do what again?
Do the fake radio call again before I reach over there and strangle you with one hand around your neck and the other hand holding onto this Coca-Cola. You want that? You want people to know that?
No. Well, look, General.
Just do the fake radio. Don't threaten, General. Do the fake radio call.
All right, it goes like this. If I'm out and I'm talking to you, General, let's see your house got burglarized or something like that.
It got burglarized.
Yeah, burglarized. All right, General, hold on for a minute. Let me just call it in. Roger, right up, pardon me. I got a 15.
All right, now what did you just do there?
I made a fake radio call.
Right, but what did you say?
Well, he's not going to remember, General.
Oh, no, I remember. I mean, I do remember.
Okay, what did you say?
I said, Panda. Well, let me do another one because I forget now.
I do remember you saying Panda, yes.
Well, what is Panda? Does that mean anything?
No, it doesn't mean a thing.
General, it doesn't mean nothing. He's just doing it to make it sound good.
Let me do another one. So, General, you had your home stolen and everything.
Well, I didn't have my home stolen, but I had items taken from inside of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had items taken from inside of it. All right, let me get on the radio here. Roger, I got a front of pain, 61.
All right, what did you say?
I said, Roger, I got a front of pain, 61.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
You know, somebody better start answering me some questions straight or I'm going to get pissed off, okay?
General, it doesn't mean anything, dear. When he said 21 on the Frumentine, I've got a 16. Is that what you said, Jay?
No. Let me do it again. No, I did not say that. I did not say that.
Well, what difference does it make if it doesn't mean anything?
Well, I won't get it right. The general want to know. Don't you, General?
Would you stop with the rant, with the Ron Paul mumble? The general, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hold on, wait a minute. If I'm going to do a fake radio call, you want to know it, right?
If you're going to do, yes, I want to know what you're saying.
All right. So, General, I'm going to call it in. I'm at your house, okay?
Yes, you're at my house and something's been burglarized.
Right. All right, General, I'll be right back. I got to go over. Front frame, sure be. Now, I wouldn't really, that was bad. I wouldn't do that kind of a call. That didn't sound realistic at all. I want it to sound realistic.
Well, but I heard what you said. You said Frumfen 5, Sorrentine.
No, I said Frumfen 5, Sorrentine.
Are you guys serious about this?
Phil, would you just shut up for a 5-second period so I can talk to this guy? Do it good, and I want to know what you said.
General, don't get pushy.
I'll get pushy. People around here are speaking some kind of a hieroglyphic, and I want to know what the hell's going on.
All right, well, let's hold on, because I got to take a break now.
Oh, damn it.
Take it easy, General. I'll tell you what's going on.
Hold on. I got to take a break. Just, you know, let the line out on your jib there, General, huh? Let the line out on that Genoa sail, man. And head before the wind, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, give it me. That's all Navy talk. Woo! What a moron.
Well, that's Navy talk.
Sorry, he's a general, yeah.
Yeah, he's a general.
All right, we'll be back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com, you can get the live show tonight, and you can also hear us on TuneIn. We'll be right back.
That's interesting.
Yes, it's the electric prunes, General. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Our thanks again to the folks at Sketchfest for a very, very fun Sunday night indeed, and a great time in the great city of San Francisco. It's a great town. We went up to the wharf and saw the sea lions and all did that jazz, man, because I'm not really all that up on, I don't dig going to Fisherman's Wharf, not because I don't like it or I don't like people. I've just been there and I've done that, you know.
Well, Fisherman's Wharf, the thing that people, you know, it's all very nice, but it's all very, there's no wharf there. It's all tourist shops and things like that.
Don't they have no, like, ships and everything?
Yeah, they got ships, you know, but...
Well, you said they had a big cruise ship there.
Yeah, they did. They had a huge cruise ship. I'd never seen a cruise ship in San Francisco.
You've never seen a cruise ship? You've got to be, are you out of your mind or something? The ships will, with the people that are on them? You mean a ship that has people?
Yes, a ship that has people. I'd never seen one there.
Well, that's what's supposed to come in, right?
Well, I mean, it's been a long time, man, since we've had ocean liners, you know, where people travel between countries. And this was, I was told, a ship all the way in from Australia, you know.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, and it was huge. It was the biggest ship I've ever seen. Easily the biggest passenger ship I've ever seen. And the guy told me, it was a cab driver, he said he turned around and with that very pleasant manner that a great many of our cab drivers who are newly arrived, say, from the African or sub-Asian continent, very pleasant young man, he turned around, he said,
4,000 people, sir. Lots of people.
I said, yeah, that's... It's a hell of a lot.
And where are you going tomorrow, sir?
I'm going to Los Angeles.
Ah, 101 South.
I said, yes, I know the 101 South.
What time are you leaving?
I said, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 101 South.
You know, I got that. It's very nice, you know.
Yeah, try and be helpful and everything.
Very helpful guy. Very nice guy. But he was amazed, and I was amazed, to see this ship parked there at the thing. So, anyway, had a great time. Appreciate everybody who was, who, as I said, came out and watched the show. On the line with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All right, in Santee, California, copper is being stolen from some public kinds of utility fixtures and so on and so forth. Publicly held, publicly owned copper. Now, Jay, you have been working with the concerned people down there. You're not working with the city, though, are you?
No, we're not actually working with the city because Santee, they do have San Diego County Sheriff, and I think you know by now, Phil, that Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we get an awful lot of people are very, very much wary of us because we get done, okay? We get done, and in order for me to get it done, I've got to sort of go around some of these people who stand in my way. Now, a lot of people who work in a police department, they're very steeped in tradition, steeped in all red tape. And I don't play that. And so, you know, I got to get around them because I don't play it, you know.
Yes, you don't play it. I heard you the first time, Jay, but not working with the police is quite dangerous, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not dangerous. I'm not trying. All I'm saying is I will go to the police department. I'll say to them, okay, Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. A lot of times they've heard of us. And they'll say, what can we do for you? I said, nothing. I'd really appreciate it if you just stay out of my way. And we're going to have a really great relationship if you stay out of my way.
What do they say to that?
They will say, okay, got it. Message delivered. Thank you very much.
I don't believe you.
I beg your pardon?
Jay, these are professional police officers. You're saying they're going to sit there and stare at you and say, well, we're backing off.
I don't believe it either, Jay.
Okay, so is that a direct challenge to me?
Well, I just don't believe that you, with your pith helmet, walk in, you walk into a police department. I don't believe it.
Hey, see, when your voice cracks like that, you lose all credibility, you know?
Credibility. Do you need water?
Yes. Hold on for a minute. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to... Give me some water, will you?
Sorry.
That'll do it. I said... That no police officer is going to watch you walk in your pith helmet. That'll do it. No police officer will walk into a...
No, what he's saying is no police officer is going to watch you walk in your pith helmet and your wingtips and go, oh, well, Jay's in town.
Oh, all right. So, in other words, you're another one of these people. You know, I told you about this, Margaret and Phil and General Shaw. You all know... You're one of these people like to stand there and go, you look like a real fairy in your fairy wingtip and your fairy little hat. I get that all the time from people.
I know you get that from people, and it's a kind of an unusual outfit. But none of us, it isn't so much you're wearing a pith helmet and wearing wingtips. It's the fact that you're going to walk into a police department and you're going to say to these cops, these guys that deal with this stuff every day, hey, back off, cop, because I know what I'm doing, standing there wearing wingtips and a pith helmet.
What about the wingtips and pith helmet? The cop's going to stand there with a big gut hanging over. He's got what we call, you know, he's got the donut gut, and he's got his little hat. What makes him look so good?
Well, it isn't so much that he looks good. It's that the guy's official. So let's just forget about that for the time being and talk about this copper. What are you guys planning on doing?
What we are going to do, Phil, is observe. I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to say, hey, guess what? I'm going to stake out these areas where all this copper has been missing. We're going to see who's stealing this copper. And then we're going to see, are they indeed using these cell phones? I think the mayor down there got a good point, you know. These Obama phones...
Wait. This Obama phone thing, man, this started with Ronald Reagan.
I understand that, but Obama's the one who gave him cell phones.
So? Everybody's using cell phones now. You know.
And these guys are using cell phones so they can rip off copper? Let me tell you what, Phil.
I'm going to tell you guys a story about copper. I don't know how much time they got. When I was in construction work, and if the mayor, if you see the mayor, tell him this, okay?
All right.
When I was in construction work as a 19-year-old kid, we stole copper. I was gainfully employed. Not only did we steal copper, but all the other guys that worked the job site stole copper.